Give them Lala with Randall, in case you have just been listening to this podcast blindly.
All right. Well, it's like 50 episodes in. Okay. You need to have an intro, but thank you for doing that.
You're welcome.
Now you can start the show.
All right.
Okay.
So we're fresh off of the Thanksgiving. I mean, it's Wednesday, but I mean, I had a great Thanksgiving. Did
so
you?
So did I. I gotta say, it was like a very traditional Thanksgiving, except we
didn't make the turkey.
We didn't make anything. We bought everything, which was cool as fuck because I didn't get robbed this year of the Thanksgiving, one of my favorite holidays, and we had everything, all the sides. All we had to do was heat it up, so it was fantastic.
Well, that's not true. I made carrots.
Oh, God.
Okay, can I tell you?
Alex, listen to me. These fucking carrots. Producer Alex is here because producer Tim is on the road.
I spent literally
4 hours.
4 hours on these carrots.
Chopping carrots. Like, by the way,
I was obsessing over them.
Wait, you spent 4 hours chopping them?
No.
Just 4 hours in preparation.
Just all of it. Like, I was so concerned about these carrots.
It's an incredible
And this guy, it was so funny. I haven't told you this, but I posted them, right? And this guy comments, and he was like, wow, carrots got you a car, bags, and an entire lifestyle. And he was like trying to be an asshole. So I commented back. And when people come to me.
Don't you let these people just troll out?
Sometimes. And then sometimes I'm bored, and I'm like, I'll feed into it.
I got to admit, it is pretty insane that there is no, like, law in trolling on the internet. That you can just be, you know, just out there with nothing better to do than want to just bully and harass. And it's like, it's okay. So I agree. We've talked about this. I do defend myself sometimes when I just feel like in a mood. But for the most part, I let 90% of it go. But sometimes I just have to kind of just be like, why?
Some days it's called Slay the Troll Day. Those are my favorite days because I'm going to teach. We have two new assistants in here. Let me just tell you guys.
What's your names?
Mitchell, Sean.
Mitchell and Sean. You don't know their names yet?
They just started.
I always win the game. When people come for me, I fall back most of the time.
That's bullshit.
No,
that's a lie.
For
you do not 90, fall back most of the time.
90% of the time I fall back.
90%?
But when I decide,
Alex,
that it's
Alex,
I feel like those numbers are a little pumped.
They're a little skewed. Those numbers are jacked a little high. Yeah, I would say you fall back 50% of the time.
There's no way I'm 50-50. There's no way. I fuck you guys for saying that because I'm definitely 90-10.
Back with 90%.
Okay, I'm gonna go with 60-40, and I'm gonna leave it at that. I want to talk about the holidays coming up because yesterday, Law, you and I took London and Riley and we went and picked a tree. Now, normally I go in to pick multiple trees. I go in, I buy like a 20 footer, I buy a 10 footer, then I buy like four little ones. That is the truth.
That's
Alex.
Why I never send him anywhere on his own.
Okay.
So anywhere. We went to buy a couch. Okay. And I leave Randall in the section where there's just chairs for literally 10 minutes. I come back and I'm looking at her, checking us out. I was like, hold on, what are these chairs? Why do I have an olive green chair?
She's like the FBI.
Farmhouse looking chair. And she was like, he picked those. I was like, 10 fucking minutes I'm gone. And this guy's picking out olive green chairs. I can't send him to Target on his own.
That's not true. I got black and white chairs. I got green chairs. I got blue chairs. I got 12 chairs. And by the way, this was in the pickleball court, had nowhere to sit, so it was imperative. And I felt it was a good deal. $29, $39 for the chair, and I got them. And then she busted my balls. I want to tell you something.
I busted your balls because none of them matched.
I got who cares? Guys don't match shit. That's what we do.
Bottom line is I can't send him anywhere by himself because he buys everything.
Okay, that is true. I have an impulse buying issue. But I want to tell you something. I got robbed at the Christmas tree place yesterday. Shout out to Tina's Trees, my favorite place. Tina's Pumpkins. Tina's everything. Tina's. Tina's the pumpkin patch and the tree. I want to tell you something. We walked in there. It was like I felt so ripped off. We walked in. We found the perfect tree. And then I was on to like the secondary tree, which would have gone on the tennis court. She shut it down. I walked out with one tree.
Oh, my God.
One unacceptable. Tree.
Unacceptable.
Is he punchable as fuck right now?
Where's the Christmas
tree? I walked out with one Christmas tree.
I was going to give trees
Christmas
away.
Trees
I was
do
give
most
trees away.
People walk out with? You bougie fuck.
I wanted to buy the kids mini trees for the room, like Snoopy, Linus trees. Like, I wanted a little baby trees. And you said you're going to take them tomorrow. So
well, I told him he can't do that, Alex, because I have them on Thursday and I need something fun to do with them. So.
Oh, that's important.
Yes. I'm
you
like,
don't have to, yeah, you've got your plan set.
Now I have my plan.
Yeah,
we're going back to Tina's.
I get it. I get it.
Anyway, I got robbed, so I got one tree. Okay, but now I want to say...
it wasn't even the tree he wanted because it was too small, meaning it actually fit properly in the house.
That's bullshit. We had another 4 feet. We could have easily gone for the 14-footer.
No, it's perfect.
Whatever, dude. I'm not arguing with you. I knew I made the right decision about the tree. You went for the little tree, and it's too small. But that's what here and there. Then you know what she did? She bullshitted me and goes, next Christmas when the family room's done, you can have your big tree. So I quoted that and wrote it down, a little book of
promises.
Oh, yeah,
you got to get it supposed to be notarized. Oh, yeah. Yep. Absolutely.
See, it's an incentive.
Okay, let's talk about holiday. Let's talk about holiday ideas. I would like to give Lala my Christmas list on this episode so that I don't get robbed at Christmas.
Okay.
So let me just tell people that I am not into like physical gifts anymore in my life. I think I'm old and I have a lot of things, and I don't think they represent kind of things I remember. So I think like emotional or sentimental things are what matter to me these days. So I don't know, whatever. Okay, so I'm gonna give you my list.
Okay. I don't have a pen.
Now you gave this to me once before and it was the greatest gift ever, except in a fight when you were angry, instead of deleting all my pictures on Instagram, you ripped up this gift into a million pieces. You're laughing, but it's true.
I just can't believe I'm so immature.
Yeah.
It's really
well,
awesome.
Well, I'm hoping you've outgrown this.
I don't know that I have. We'll see.
But I would like this gift put on some kind of really hard paper so that you can't rip it up if you get mad. But yeah. I would like for Christmas from you another coupon book.
A coupon book?
That you don't destroy.
Okay.
Okay. And I would like in that coupon book the following things. I would like...
Oh, my God. Do you want to say?
Yeah, no, I'm not going to get into the personal things.
Yeah.
I would like at least 10 20-minute back tickles.
Fuck that.
See?
I would rather do 20 10-minute back tickles.
Whatever. I'll take what I can get.
I mean, 20 minutes. It's like 5 hours.
You know, I don't ask for a lot, Lala, so I just say yes.
You ask. I can't even get into this. Okay, so you want a coupon book. That's
yes.
Your list?
That's my list. And I would like, what was it? You came up with one other thing you thought I would need. Oh, I'd like some new Nike Air Force Ones.
Okay.
Okay, that's it.
That's easy.
That's it. And I would like one card from you with some photos or some pictures of us that are sentimental and have a beautiful love story poem on it.
Oh, yeah. That's so cute.
That's all I want. I really
I
want
I was
all
thinking
all.
He was going to say like a book of nudes or something.
I also think it's like a year that everybody...
You avoided
done.
That. You avoided that.
I also think it's a year that like the world is so upside down and we're all fucked every which way right now that I think that, you know, sentimental things are going to have such more gravity, which takes me to your gifts. What sentimental things do you want?
I literally...
Because Chanel doesn't have any sentimental stuff, nor does Louis, so you got to...
I literally don't want one thing.
What?
No.
Are you owning that?
Yes, but I'm like pretty... Yeah, like I don't need anything. I don't need another bag. I don't need more shoes. I don't need clothes.
Can I tell you something? You did say
you
this
bought.
To me.
You already got my or our nursery stuff for the baby.
That's true. That's like, true. We spent. We did. And by the way, we have a baby coming, and I think you know we want to be like you said. We want to be smart. We want to be trying to be conservative these days. I do want to.
Really, the only reason why I said that was because I can't fit anything anywhere. But yes, conservative. That sounds nice too. Yes.
Honesty is the best policy.
Yeah.
Alex, what do you... Alex,
if I had another bag, where would I put it?
I don't want to say the number, but I do want to congratulate Alex. He won a bet. We made a bet, George and I, 30 days ago, that Alex told us that he could go 30 days with no drinking, no carbs for 30 days.
And you then look good, eh?
Totally stone sober. And no carbs.
You look awesome.
Yeah.
So that means no weed for all of you California weed smokers out there.
Were you a big weed smoker?
No, not at all.
No, but he just nothing. He was
just nothing.
And not only that, he's a young guy. He drinks. He goes out. He does his thing.
Yeah, it's
so
fun.
No drinks, no carbs.
Right.
Pretty impressed. So congratulations,
thank
Alex.
You. And thank you.
I feel like it would be harder to do that with us being quarantined because
yeah. Well, that was the part of the problem, is that being in quarantine all the time made it such an issue.
Right.
Whereas before, it was like when you have a routine and you're working and you're doing your thing, it's not the same. You know, you're not eating like shit 24/7 and you're not drinking 24/7. So that's, you know, over the last year, we've all spent a lot of time at home. And so I needed this to get back on track. And it was the best thing I've done in a really long time. I can't recommend it enough, honestly.
You look chic and sleek.
Thank you. Spend 30 days doing anything, I will say.
You know what?
Anything positive, and it really does make a difference.
You should be so proud of yourself.
Thank you.
Randall, you also are looking sleek and chic.
Thank you.
And I think you should be very proud of yourself.
Jesse? All right, Jesse Metcalf, guess what? You are our surprise caller today on Give Them Lala with Randall Podcast. Say hi, Jesse Metcalf.
What's up, everybody?
Yeah, Jesse Metcalf.
Oh my God, you're like the coolest surprise guest we've ever had.
Jesse, first of all, shout out to you. Congratulations on having the top movie on Netflix this last week, Hard Kill. Proud of you, buddy. You crushed
it. Thank you so much. I'm very excited about it. It's been really cool.
Well, I know you don't know this, but I wanted to surprise you and announce it on our podcast because we haven't announced it in Deadline or we haven't announced it anywhere in the trades. But we have officially announcing right now on this podcast that we have formally greenlit Hard Kill, the sequel.
Hell yes.
Amazing.
We're coming back, baby. You're coming back.
Thank you, Randall. It's going to be fun.
It's going to be fun. So, Jess, tell us just quickly. I know you work a lot. Tell us like how Dancing with the Stars was real quick and tell us, you know, just what you've been doing in quarantine and during quarantine to stay busy.
Dancing with the Stars was a great experience. I was surprised at how full on it was. You know, it was like 4 hours of rehearsal a day. And I was also pretty surprised at how challenging, you know, learning choreography is. You know, I felt like I put my best foot forward. I did the best job I possibly could.
You crushed it.
I didn't hang around too long, but, you know, it was a respectable showing.
I feel like that show is so intimidating because they do pull people out of, like, they're not like, yeah, let's go find a dancer to be on Dancing with the Stars. It's like, let's pull people who have zero experience.
Right. I think that's amazing. That's what makes the show so great. Like with Jess, when you said you were going on, I was like, wow, you are I know you're a brave, bold, you know, man, but I mean, to go on that show, you have to have real cojones to get on that show.
Thanks, man. Yeah, no, it was pretty nerve-wracking. That first live performance, you know, was kind of an out-of-body experience, but it got easier as it went on.
What was the like best part of the show, and what was like your worst moment when you were filming the show?
You know, in rehearsals, it can get a little frustrating, you know, if you're not getting something. You know, I mean, I have no formal dance experience whatsoever. So, you know, a lot of steps and the movements were really foreign to me. And, you know, I mean, Sharna and I, you know, we had some not so great moments.
Tell us, Jesse.
You know, I mean, I'm really, you know, breaking this, you know, on the podcast here. You know, I loved Sharna. You know, she's incredibly talented. But, you know, we had some kind of oil and water moments. You know, we had very different personalities, and, you know, sometimes we clashed a little bit.
Would you guys clash over the fact that, like, you, was it all about dancing that you guys would clash? Did she feel like you weren't taking it seriously?
No, Jesse takes everything he does seriously.
I just want to know.
No, but I just think Jesse's such a perfectionist. Jesse, like, what would happen that would have been an oil vinegar moment? Because I have to believe you were like you're very opinionated, like you're an artist.
Yeah.
You know what you want.
Really,
that's really what it was. I mean, I obviously, you know, I always give 110% to everything I do. But I felt like in the rehearsal space, which is supposed to be a safe space, especially for someone who has no dance experience and is very, you know, insecure in that world, I wasn't really allowed to say anything or have an opinion about anything, basically, like, ever.
Oh, yeah. No, that would not go over well with me either, Jeff.
It started to get better. After I bought multiple gifts.
Oh, my God.
Jesse knows the way to a girl's heart, right?
I mean, you know, I really tried to ingratiate myself, but it was like, at times it felt like a losing battle.
Oh, shit. Well, I got to tell you something. I watched it, and it did not look like any of that. Obviously, you guys were rock stars. I could never have done 10% of what you did, so I commend you. You know,
now, everybody, like, thought we were hooking up.
I read that too.
That's honestly the thing about the show is that people think that they need to present that, you know, in order to win. There's a lot of gamesmanship that goes on behind the scenes, you know, that's very, you know, reality show-esque.
Right.
You know, that I definitely didn't anticipate coming into it.
Wow. Because you thought, I mean, because I know how you are as an actor. We've done a lot of movies together. I know you come in and you know, you're focused. You know your shit. You just do the work. And I bet you went into it the same way. And then all of a sudden you probably got, you know, all this other stuff was there. And you're like, whoa, you know, what's all that? Probably, you know,
there was definitely some reality show stuff that I wasn't, you know, super, super comfortable with. But I still had an amazing experience, and everybody, you know, the producers and the directors and, you know, the cast and crew, the other dancers, I think they're all amazing.
Wow.
You know, it really is a kind of a once in a lifetime special experience.
Question. One more question on the Dance with the Stars. Who did you pick to win besides yourself?
Is it over?
Yeah.
Who won?
Nev, right? Jesse, you told me?
Caitlin Bristow won.
Oh, Caitlin Bristow. And Nev got second.
Who's that?
Neve got second, I think.
Who's Caitlin?
Caitlin was on The Bachelor and The Bachelorette.
Yeah. Oh,
but,
okay.
But Jesse, when you went into that, aside from yourself winning the whole enchilada,
I never thought I was going to win the whole enchilada.
You didn't.
I actually always, you know, I thought maybe Johnny Weir was going to win. Being that, you know, he had this skating background, and
yeah,
I figured like learning the choreography would probably be pretty easy for him.
When did he go out?
He went out, you know, like maybe eighth or ninth.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. He had a nice run, but you know, and then after that, I thought Neve was going to win because I mean he was just such a good dancer and had a lot of you know, previous dance experience.
So I have to ask you this then, because you're an in shape dude, was this a good workout for you? Did it kick your ass?
It kicked my ass. It was incredible,
dude.
Yeah, it's like Pilates with movement, you know, when you're dancing multiple hours a day, I mean, the weight just falls off of you. You get super lean.
Right, because you really have a hard time. I mean, you're just, you know, you really need to lose some more weight, Jesse, with your 12-pack abs and your shredded biceps. I know, it's tough.
I really leaned out even more than
I don't need a show like that. I'm already guns out blazing. Jess.
That's right, baby.
So tell me, when you're not shooting I know you've been working on your series, your movies, and then Dancing with Stars, but when you do have downtime in this weird quarantine kind of world we've been living in for a while, what do you usually do? You know, what's the entertainment? How do you pass the time?
Wow. I mean, you know, I like to play guitar. Yeah, I like to read. I like to go hiking. I love the outdoors. I like to go on, you know, motorcycle rides and, you know, classic car cruises on Sundays.
I do know you like to do the classic car cruises because I follow you on Instagram and you post your cars.
Yes. I just bought a new house. So I've been doing a lot of renovations and stuff that's been keeping me busy. But yeah, it's very important during these crazy times, you know, during these lockdowns and throughout the pandemic to stay as busy as possible and maintain some sense of normalcy.
Dude, I feel
it. And it can be challenging at times for sure.
Trust me, I get it. Well, I think you're doing an awesome job as far as keeping people entertained. And also, you know, pulling your house together. That sounds like a perfect way to pass the time to me.
Well, I think you're doing an awesome job carrying Randall's child.
What are you doing in quarantine? And, just and raising a Randall. Person.
All right, man. Well, listen, Jess.
Jess, thanks for being our
surprise
guest.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. I want to say something. We were just talking about Thanksgiving. My bad, Jess. We were just talking about Thanksgiving before you came on and what we did and how great it was. And you joined us, and I want to say thank you because I had the most fun that night with you, and we had a blast getting to hang out and have kind of a friends, family Thanksgiving. So
thank you so much for having us. It was awesome. It was an unexpected invitation, and we had the best time.
All right, so
thanks.
All right, Jess, well, I'll text you in a little bit, and thanks for being our surprise guest.
Bye, Jess.
You got it. All right. Bye, guys.
All right, that was awesome. We're gonna cut right to a break, come right back. Thank you.
We're back. Wow, Jesse Metcalf.
Did you like that one, La?
Yeah, that was a surprise. It's usually my mom or your mom.
It is not. I've gone deeper than that. I've gone Jax.
That's true.
Yeah, but you're right. It usually is like somebody within the immediate fam, but I'm trying to think beyond, you know.
Here's the thing with Jesse Metcalf. I know that he's a hard worker, but sometimes like those dancers, I've known some dancers, none on Dancing with the Stars, but they take their craft seriously, and it for real is like, no fun to be had. Like, you don't laugh. You don't. So that's what I meant. Yeah. Like, was it because you weren't taking it seriously, a.k.a. you smiled one time?
Oh, that's that makes sense.
Yes.
But I actually think knowing Jesse, and you obviously have co-starred in a movie with him and know him as well. You know, Jesse, he's like, he's fun as fuck, but he is super focused when it comes to working.
I've never seen a script more marked up in my life than when I worked with Jesse on Hard Kill.
Yeah.
I was like, what, did you rewrite the whole thing? I don't understand. He's like, no, this is just my breakdown of how I feel about this one line. I'm like, oh, shit, I should take this a little more seriously.
Okay, so we're playing a game now, a new game. It is today, because it's Tuesday, it's Trivia Tuesday here on the podcast. One of my favorite days. Unfortunately, Tim is not here. I was thinking of calling him to put him into the mix with the three of you, but it is Trivia Tuesday. Okay. I need you to pick Lala because you're making the baby. You pick a subject and see if you can outdo Alex. Pick something that you know, because Alex is high level, fucking knows a lot of dumb shit.
Murder.
Oh, good one. Good one. Good one. Okay.
Do you know anything about murder?
Yeah, sure.
I actually watch a lot of things just about murder.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Now, true murder stories, or you like reenactments or...
All of it.
She likes real shit. She likes the
That's
real...
the thing.
No, but they
girls are so crazy. They'll be like, no, I can't watch this horror movie with you because I can't sleep, but I will watch this true
Here's
murder.
The first question.
Like, what is first question?
Yeah,
I'm going to give you three questions total.
Okay.
The one who wins the most.
I've never played trivia with you guys. Is it A, B, C, or D? Or do I just have to know?
I'm going
to
give you the different options. Some might be true or false. So.
Okay, go.
Here's the thing about the trivia game, though. I've never done a trivia game on serial killers, so this is a new one.
Okay?
So this is going to be the first serial killer trivia game.
Right on, let's go.
The question is, according to the internet, a serial killer is typically a person who murders how many people at minimum to be considered a serial killer? I will give you three options. A, 2. B, 3. C, 4.
What was the question again? How many people do they have to murder to
be considered a serial killer based on the internet, what they say?
I think it's 2.
Alex?
Yeah, I would say 2 unless they consider 3 a series. It has to be a series. That's all. That's the only requirement.
So what's the number?
It could be 2, but I think they might say 3 on the internet.
You have to say one or the other.
This is tough.
It is tough.
They always say go with your gut.
I'll go with 3.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, 3. 1 point for Alex.
Did you guys know that?
You did?
Damn. Oh, I should have phoned a friend.
You guys are going to play now, too. The interns are here. They're going to play,
no,
too.
No, they're the friend. I'm going to phone them when I need help.
Okay, you could phone Alex Camp, because Alex studies shit like this all day. Okay, who is the number one serial killer they consider in the world?
I picked the wrong category.
You mean with the
okay? I got a better one. I got a better question. That's a little more fair.
I thought you were gonna ask like, does blood show up under a blue light or things like that?
No, I could do that.
You'll win the trivia about serial killers unless you get into some of the old ones. And I got some good info on those.
Oh, do you? Especially the one that leaves the bite marks on the girl's ass.
Ted Bundy and some others.
Here, keep going. I want to do this. Ask.
Was the Zodiac Killer ever found? Yes or no? You could phone a friend.
He was not.
Okay, what's your answer?
No, absolutely.
Okay, you're right.
Who's the Zodiac Killer?
One of the most famous.
He's never been identified.
Never been identified? When did he murder?
In the 60s and 70s in Vallejo, California.
So he could very well still be living
among us. Guys, this is like a Family Feud question.
No, probably not.
He's probably dead, they think.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, this is a Family Feud question.
Okay.
In a serial killer format. List the top 10 serial killers of all time. I need you each to name one, then we'll go to you, then back and forth. Okay, you go first.
Ted Bundy. Wasn't he the hot one?
That is correct. Alex, name one.
Just name one. Son of Sam.
I don't think they have him listed as the top, but that is valid.
Jeffrey Dahmer.
That is on the list. That's two.
That's a good one. We already said the Zodiac, but I would have said that's my favorite.
No, he's not on this list.
God, there's so many.
Okay, you're out. Next, if you come up with one more, you win.
Hold on. What the fuck is that guy's name?
Hold on.
No, phone a friend.
What about, fuck.
Okay, you can phone a friend. I phone a friend right now. So you can beat Alex and take the even
I
tie.
Have his name on my tongue.
But you have your phone a friend right there.
Phone my friend.
Go.
Charles Manson, that's the one.
He didn't kill anybody. He ran a squad that killed people, guys. That's why I hesitated. It's not the same thing. Otherwise, I would have said
he's on the list, isn't he?
Give me one more for Lala.
Is he on the list?
Actually, have killed Juan Corona on there?
The Golden State Killer.
No.
I don't think the Golden State Killer is on there.
Jack the Ripper, Jeffrey Dahmer, Harold Shipman, John Gacy, H.H. Holmes, Pedro Lopez, and Ted Bundy. All right, that was a fun game. A little dark and morbid, whatever. I don't think our sponsors are. And our sponsors will be back after these messages.
Exactly. Here's the thing. I spent most of Thanksgiving weekend watching ID, which is where they like investigate murders.
Oh, it is?
And yeah, but it's kind of like, it's like you watch something and at the end you're left unsatisfied. So yeah. And we don't know who did it. It's like, oh, I just invested so much time into this and you're still trying to find, like, have you heard of the Jessica Chambers murder where she was lit on fire in her car?
Yeah, we watched that together. That was dark. I don't need to watch those kind of stories anymore. I don't know. You know, it's so funny. You love comedy. You love cartoons. You love Seinfeld and Frasier. And then I walk in the room and you're like binging on these murder dark mysteries. I'm like, what is going? After I watched this one, Alex, I swear to you, it was 11 o'clock. I wanted to cry going to bed. I was like, I'm never doing this with you again.
It's
depressing.
It is depressing, but also like I go out into the world and I'm really aware. I'm like, that person driving by is looking at me weird. This is starts.
So in a way, it's making you aware of something that might not even be there.
It's called paranoia.
Paranoia.
It's not paranoia. It's just like, okay, this person, like today I was working out and this guy kept going back and forth. So I grabbed my baton that I work out with and I was holding it during the entire workout because I'm like, this is how it happens.
Was he going back and forth to the water machine?
Nope. He was going behind bushes and pulling his dick out.
Oh my God.
Okay. And we have lost. We have no sponsors left. It is the Lala and Randall Show.
You guys can think I'm crazy all day long, but hello, I've seen a lot of shit on TV.
Babe, I gotta tell you something.
She and her baby went missing and I'm like, if someone would have paid attention to weird fucking behavior.
I'm with you.
Thank you, Alex.
I'm going to tell you guys something. Okay. I watched the show, and by the way, I was very intrigued, and they're trying to figure it out and tell us the backstory of how, but it is very depressing, that stuff. And in a world that's already tough right now, that was a little heavy for me. And I don't know how you stomach that. I'm very shocked.
I love it. And then I watched
Seinfeld. I think you like the figuring it out. Like you like the detective. Can you figure out who did it? Like kind of the mystery part of it.
I just want to know what goes through someone's head when they're like, I'm having an affair and to make sure that I can continue, I'm going to murder my whole family.
Right.
I want to know.
Normal thoughts that everybody has.
Right. Like, I just want to know, like, what is wrong with that human being?
Can we talk about last week's episode for a minute? You just came back from Puerto Rico. You were gone. We did the dad podcast.
Yeah. I just filmed a movie that was like pretty action packed, and I'm 5 months pregnant.
Yes, so I'm very proud of you to do that.
Thank you, baby.
And I know it wasn't easy, and I know you didn't feel well a lot, but you grinded through and made it. I'm very proud of you. I mean that. I want to say something in addition to that. We did the Stad podcast last week. People had asked us, and we had a lot of fun. It was great.
Did people dig it as much as they dug the first one?
I got a flood of love in how much they wanted more, all that stuff. What I want to know. This egg crate thing became a big thing.
Yeah.
Right?
It was a big thing when it happened.
It was very big. And Jax was not happy. And yeah. I love Jax.
He was very
happy. He wasn't happy.
He was very angry.
But people from around the world have reached out to me and said, like, in certain countries, they, instead of cribs, they use boxes. I was so shocked when he went into this egg crate thing. I couldn't believe it. We had to pull up pictures. And Jax was so mad.
Did you see pictures?
Yeah. We pulled up a picture of an egg box and we showed it to him, and he said, that's the kind of egg box I used to go camping in. And then he told us his parents used to let him sleep in the car at like one, like that was normal.
Called his sister,
then he called his sister, she confirmed. It was a whole thing.
Yeah,
we're like, you guys, someone needs to like shut this down. deny.
And Bo could not
wait. Is that
anymore.
What it is, like an egg crate?
No,
like that?
That's an egg mattress.
Let me see.
No, you have to write egg crate, egg box. Oh my God, we're doing it again.
Okay,
it
anyway.
This is already happening.
I did hear about that. And that, wait, like that?
Yes, that right there, he said. That's what he used to sleep in when he went camping. Some people sleep in tents, and then he said back in the day, this is how they did it. But I also, in close to age with Jax, and I never slept in an egg box.
You know, some people do it like that in Michigan.
Hey, he says his words.
Yeah, we're only quoting.
I know. No, can I tell you? Gangster. It's like, you know what, honey? We're not going to spend money on a freaking crib, portable crib. Jax is sleeping in the fucking egg box.
Makes sense.
You know?
Makes sense.
And I highly doubt they shoved him in there with, like, out blankets. That just acted.
No, he said, I think he said he was in the tent in the box.
Yeah,
but I'm sure that they made it. The box was just a structure at the end of the day.
I don't know. Maybe he was just playing in the box and he just crawled in it. Oh, my God. This is gone.
It was a structure.
I really want to call Jax right now.
Please don't.
But I know that he would just be so mad at me. By the way, I called Jax today and I told him, like, can we come over for dinner? Because I watched Brittany cook on Instagram.
What? Shut that down?
No. Hold on. And Brittany said to me, directly, Brittany said, you come on over and I'll go cook for you, because she knows I love like Southern, like fried chicken, all the things that they eat. You know, I love that, babe. So she said, come over and I'll cook for you guys. So I text Jackson. I'm like, I'm leaving town in a couple days to go to work. Can Brittany cook for us? And he goes, are you out of your mind? I was crazy. I said, your wife offered to cook for us. He's like, oh. Well, she's really sick this morning with morning sickness. And I was like, I didn't say it had to be right now. When can Brittany ever, when she feels like it, I what the fuck? I can't win, dude. Jax, I will just order.
Jax needs to put on his Instagram a mood of the day. We need to gauge how he's feeling at the moment so that I can text him accordingly.
I love Jax. I really want to call him right now and ask if I can come over for dinner.
Randall, don't. I cannot.
No, he'll be so mad because I love him. He's like my favorite. When I call him and he's in one of those moods, he like talks to me like I'm from outer space. Like, what? Who are you?
I know.
He calls me the next day. He's like, what day are we going to Miami? What day are we going for New Year's? What day? You know, he's like, you know, it's like, but that's Jax. Like, you know, most of the time he's in a great mood. Just, you know, if you get him on the off day.
Yeah, but I relate to that. That's kind of how it is with me too.
Hourly.
Yeah, like it's an hour to hour type of thing.
Yeah, like 11 o'clock could be fantastic with you, and by lunchtime, you're dodging. Boards.
Yeah, you guys will see that assistance. There are days where I come in
hour
here
to hour.
No, you want? I'll protect you.
Burn the office down.
I will protect you.
That is hilarious.
She knows the code to the front door. There's nothing you can do but to accept your fate.
Oh wow.
And don't ever drive my car.
Shout out to Jared. Jared, we want to give you a shout out on this podcast. Jared, everybody.
Is the new assistant.
One of the new assistants. And Jared was amazing. Jared volunteered to take Lala's car to the car wash and then called me and had gotten into an accident. The first thing I said is, are you okay? And he said, yes, I'm fine. No injuries. I was like, great. So it must have been like a little fender bender. And did you get the person's insurance? He said, the police are on their way. I said, you get the person's insurance because when they hit you, they're at fault, obviously. And he said, no. I'm at fault. I said, what do you mean you're at fault? So I wasn't looking, and I turned right into another car. And I said, okay, well, send me the picture. And I, you know, assumed it was just a fender bender because I never saw the car, you know, until I went to the shop. And I think an axle fell off or something like that.
So, are you kidding?
Oh, my God.
So are you being serious? Are you fucking with me?
Oh, my God.
No, so I'm like a dad, right? Like, when I come home.
You want to get Jared in here?
We should get him in here.
We should ask Jared how it happened.
I will assassinate him.
Should we ask Jared how it happened? Okay. Get Jared. We're going to get Jared. Because I don't really know the details. I was not there.
All right, should we get him and cut to a break?
Let's cut to a break and then get him. And that'll be.
All right, you guys, we're going to cut to a break and then I'm going to rip Jared a new asshole. We'll be right back. Hey, you guys, we're back with Give Them Lala with Randall.
And we are on with the assistant we were just talking about, famous Jared. Jared, welcome to the podcast.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
All right, Jared. So here's the thing. Lala is just getting some details of your car accident. And I told her when you called me, first thing I asked is, are you okay? You said yes. And I said, well, you get the police officer to make sure, you know, get the report filled out and for the insurance and, you know, because they were at fault. And your answer was, no, I was at fault. And why don't you tell us about that day once you got in the car and how the accident happened?
Well, I turned to the left and somebody was there. And that's about as.
So you turned to the left, weren't looking, smashed into a car.
Pretty much did not see them there.
Oh, Jarrett, wrong car to not see someone in.
I know.
Lala takes care of her car like it's a fourth child.
No,
she
this
literally
is what I
babies
do.
These cars.
I get home, I walk around the entire car, I know if my seat has been moved.
That's honestly legit. A lot of people stop caring about their cars after you.
OCD. She's high
that's
level.
Fantastic.
Hell no.
No, Lala is very obsessed with her car. She takes very good care of it. I give her a lot of respect. I can't do what she does. I don't do the same thing she does. Yeah.
I make Riley take her shoes off because I told her, I said, do you see these marks? That's because you kick my seat.
You just got a lot of respect from the car community.
Really?
Because a lot of people love that car a lot and probably think, you know, there's some people out there that don't show the love and respect they deserve.
Oh, I respect my shit.
Now, me, on the other hand, I don't respect my car. I just think of a car gets you from A to B. That's the job of it.
Jared, I would have rather had you crash the Rolly.
Oh man. Neither one. I prefer neither one.
Well, so would I, but apparently.
That
Jared,
we're choosing.
Jared, we only told Lala part of the truth of the damage. We told her that you were in a fender bender because everybody was safe. Nobody got injured, thank God. And then you have to assess the damage. And we didn't know that you were capable of basically busting a rim and an axle falling off, basically.
Well, I tell you what, that thing, you are safe in that thing, Lala. That is like a panda tank. Oh,
you want to know how I know I'm safe in that car, Jared?
Over here.
No, for real.
You
so
just got a new sponsor.
My friend, Janet, called me one day and was like, I don't want to stress you out, but I just got rear-ended by a Ford F-150. And I like grit my teeth and I was like, are you okay? And she was like, I'm fine. I said, what does my car look like? And all it was, like the back of the camera was like fucked up, but the wheel on the back of the G-Wagon was just like super indented. I couldn't believe, I think if she would have been in a different car, like she would have had serious issues.
That's why I do agree. And we're very blessed that these cars that we have are big cars and they are safe. I think.
No, we're happy you're safe, Jared. I'm just fucking with you, but don't ever fucking touch my car again.
Well, listen, I asked if Jared was safe because that's always the first thing we care about. Obviously, people's safety. After that, I was like, now you got to go deal with Lala.
Don't worry.
Well, I would like to formally apologize.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
Well, I have calmed down, Jarrett. And no, Randall knows the drill. When something happens to the car, you better take it in immediately. Because if I come home and see that, I will assassinate everybody. You're all getting grenade launchers shoved up your ass.
Again, happy holidays from everybody here.
Happy holidays, Jarrett, from the Emmett family.
Happy holidays.
Bye, dude.
Bye, Jarrett.
On the real, though,
that was funny.
I get it. Things can be replaced. Things can get fixed.
Listen, Law, the first thing when I told you that, you said, is he okay? And I said, yes. And that was the most important thing. Anybody gets in an accident, you always want to make sure the other driver.
No, even when Janet called and said I was fucking tripping. When someone tells you they got rear-ended by a Ford F-150, like, that is not a small truck.
No, that's, you could go to the hospital.
Yes.
And so I was happy that he was safe and the other driver was safe. Once he told me that, he sent me a picture of the damage. And I always say to people, automobiles, they're a possession. They can always be replaced. People's lives can't. So we're lucky everybody's safe. And on that note,
what's the theme of this podcast? We have literally talked to Dancing with the Stars, car accidents, murder. There's no theme. You can tell we're coasting into the holiday.
Yeah.
You know?
Now, I want to tell everybody something about our schedule with our podcast so that nobody's disappointed. We are going to, like most of you, hopefully, going to go on hiatus over Christmas and New Year's. So our last episode of our podcast will be December 16th. So this week and two more episodes, and then that will complete our first year of Give Them Lala. We are going to do a giveaway on the 16th. We will tell you about it next week. It'll be cash for the holidays.
Is that the last episode before
the 16th.
Go on break?
Yes, the 16th. And I wanna do something special, Law,
okay,
for a few people. So next week you and I will announce what we're gonna do.
Okay.
And then we'll pick like three or four people. We wanna bring them on the last episode of the podcast of the year.
Okay.
Give away our cash holiday giveaway. And then we will be coming back in January, right after New Year's, and we'll give more details about that.
I love it. Are we done already?
We're done. I think it's time to go.
Wow, that flew by. Did I even do anything on this podcast?
I don't know. I'm still figuring it out.
I'm like in pregnancy brain mode. Anyway, you guys are awesome for listening to...
Oh
my God. Time for a nap. You guys are awesome for listening to us ramble on today. Thank you so much, and we will catch you next week.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone's senior writer, Brian Hyatt.
Now, here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.